Splendid. OK, it's the Myathon Hour 3, which begins, as I say, the taking place between a whole range of other factors. Online, we should hopefully be able to welcome Arthur Weingarten. As we say, Arthur, are you there?
I am.
Good. As you may have gathered, we've had one or two little challenges, mini-challengettes, I think, that we're actually having here. But our managing editor, Andrew David, is working his magic, and hopefully everything will be happy and sorted out as far as life, the universe and various other things are actually concerned. But what are your thoughts, Arthur, in New York? In fact, before we find your thoughts on the Myathon, Debbie Wilson would like to ask you about eggnog. And, you know, as Arthur's, you know, born in New York, worked extensively in Hollywood, produced Murder, She Wrote, a whole heap of other scenarios, writer for The Green Hornets, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Wild Wild West, The Addams Family, and so on. If anybody can actually give you a perfect eggnog scenario, probably Arthur's your man. Debbie?
Yeah, I wasn't really going to ask you about eggnog, but seeing as Alex has mentioned it, do you have a fantastic recipe for eggnog? Because we English people, we don't do this eggnog thing.
Well, I have to tell you something, that I ate lunch not too long ago, but if you continue to talk about eggnog, it's going to revisit. That'll be the end of the eggnog talk.
Right, we won't do that then. We won't do that.
Best to actually just scoot away from that sort of thing. Well, anyway, we tried, Debbie. We'll get things sorted out as the thing proceeds. Ed, any questions for Arthur from your own perspective?
Yes, how are you approaching Christmas, Arthur, this year? Have you got any big plans for the new year?
I approach it in a very low crouch and wait for it to go over me.
Oh, just like my father.
Yes. I'm the Grinch.
And what about next year? I mean, is it going to be a good one for you?
Next year, I always look forward to next year in the hope that my eyes will crack open in the morning and some air will get sucked into the nostrils and life will go on. But, I never hold out any sort of things like lists to do and all of that, because life presents enough failure without your writing them down.
Plans always go astray as well, don't they? There's no point in making plans, because you can guarantee if you make a plan, it's not going to work out the way you want
it to.
Exactly. You wouldn't want it to.
You don't have to take out billboards to see where it's heading, you know, for failure.
I'm sensing a slight sort of downer here. Let's just remind people what we are actually listening to.
The 20th and 21st of December, 2012. More than just dates on a calendar, as this Mayan celebratory extravaganza is proving.
Okay, right. Onwards, ever onwards. I tell you what, Arthur, whilst we sort out a couple of the bits and pieces, would you like to give us a little Christmas tune that hopefully you'd sort of liked, and would you sort of test this system just a little bit more, really, which I'm sure should create... It'll be kill or cure on this particular thing. Any particular Christmas carol that you'd like to suggest from upstate New York?
You're really hitting me where I don't live.
I know. It's okay. We know you can cope. Much like this machine.
I don't have a Christmas carol.
No.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what. Shall we give you just a blast of the Pussycat Dolls and Halo?
Yes,
I know it's unexpected. It's unexpected for us as well, Arthur, but we'll be back with you very shortly. Stay
very
online
good.
And we'll continue with this Myathon come heck or high water. Pussycat Dolls and Halo. Is it what we're expecting? Perhaps not. I tell you what, Arthur, if you're still there, maybe you'd like to share with us another thought for the day. This is from Mike Dooley. Fingers crossed, because this could actually test the system completely. So if the whole thing stops now, you'll appreciate very strange activities. And then we'll probably be asking you, what sort of technical challenges have you faced with on the film set in Hollywood where things were going slightly bizarre because of machinery? You just thought, what was happening here? Anyway, here's Mike's thought.
There's always more than one right answer, path, person, possibility, nuance, or flavor. So insist upon none. Insisting on details always limits you. Purple moonbeam chocolate, please, the universe. P.S. Or should that be coyote ocean coffarine? Double chunky vanilla? Stop me. Desert cactus crunch.
And there we have it. I don't know if that made any sense whatsoever, Arthur, but, you know, this particular time, hour three, and who knows what's going on with the world. But let's share with us, Arthur, first of all, any particular sort of challenges which you look back on as your time as producer, as writer, when you've just thought, right, how do we keep going here when everything else seems to be going skew-whiff?
Well, it's a very, very simple thing that we always expect disaster.
Ah.
Or at least in my day, we always expect disaster. So we have something which even the Mayans probably had, which was called cover sets.
Right.
You always thought ahead, like in the Japanese game Go, in 2 and 3 depths. If indeed you're rained or snowed or tornadoed out here, what do we do? Well, you always had something to do. There was always something. And if you lost an actor or actors, as happened one time on Man from U.N.C.L.E., Robert Vaughn and 6 others in a minibus were lost on location. The driver took a wrong turn and they showed up 4 hours later. We quickly revised the script and we did a survival trek thing as seen by Robert Vaughn in his delirium, and we shot the sky and the forests and the snow surrounding us in surreal ways. And that was known as a box show because we couldn't begin to have all the dialogue and scenes that we were going to do. So we quickly converted that he had been knocked on the head and he was dreaming all these things.
I like that. Ed, bear that in mind when we're sort of doing the whole thing. If all else fails, knock me on the head and I've just been dreaming the whole thing. Okay? We'll work on that premise. Very good.
But you know, in terms of, being a writer, I don't like to waste things that I've worked on. I actually came up with several reasons why I believe the Mayans might have ended on the tomorrow's date after a 51-year run on their calendar. And if you'd like to hear them,
I think we would.
Yeah, in ascending order. In other words, the least likely first. I believe they may have run out of stone. That might have been one thing.
Yeah.
The second is, more likely, they were given the circular shape of the calendar. They came to the conclusion that the daily passage of time added up to nothing more than the same old, endlessly repeated. After all, how many perfectly good vestal virgins can you sacrifice without seeing prayers answered?
Something I've often asked myself at the University of Lincoln.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's really... talk about treasure being wasted. And the last and most likely, that there was a colossal failure to reckon change was in the wind, and that not too many centuries on, civilization would be richly rewarded for persevering with the advent of things like brown sauce and the reliable certainty that Rebecca Brooks would never have a good hair day.
Oh, yes.
So there we are.
I think you suddenly win the prize in terms of the whole scenario. I'm just wondering whether Mr. Computer sort of was so sort of offended by the singing attempt we actually had that we must not sing anymore. We'll pull it off the system later, I'm sure, from that point of view. Still, never mind.
How are you holding up? Let me ask you that.
Well, I think better than the computer at this particular stage is the official line, but that'll hopefully be sorted through and we will match up and we'll synchronise. We're only 2 hours into this whole sequence now. In fact, it's hour three now. Ed, how are you coping?
I'm beginning to think of the urn needing switching on quite soon.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm going to go down there and have a look in a minute.
Switching on of the urn in the quiet room.
Yes. And are all of you going to actually be on for 24 hours, all of you?
Well, I will be, as I've sort of committed to this whole process. Ed is going to make a darn good fist of being there and working through the whole process.
Yep.
Tiffany, bless her heart, we just don't know. Unlikely, I would just say.
Night.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike my sleep.
It's a wonderful Herculean effort. It's like Bloomsday and things like that.
It's extraordinary in every sense of the word. We'll have all sorts of other backup things to work through. In fact, we'll probably be sending up the CDs before too long, really. The Mr. Computer sort of goes all sorts of other strange things. I don't know, Arthur, you see, you put your trust in some technology, and I am griping here, you just think, why? You know, it works perfectly well.
Well, you know who you're talking to. I mean, my relationship...
This is it, Arthur. You know,
a computer is zero,
exactly.
Not ones and zeros.
Precisely.
Zero.
Exactly, and this is the whole point. As Annette, your wonderful wife, would say, you know, technically challenged could have been written for yourself in many ways, Arthur.
Yes.
It's important that things are sorted through with that.
Right.
Anyway, you are listening to the Myathon, a celebration of all good things over the last 5,100-odd years. Actually, all good things, that sounds like a huge sort of thing to live up to, but we're doing our very best, brought to you by our very own friendly neighbourhood, Lincoln's Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community station, and also this time in association with Chilpack Hollywood. And we're paving the way for those guys to actually work their way through the whole process, etc. Arthur, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us?
Certainly, as always. As always.
Excellent. So I take it then we can look forward to connecting with you in, let's say, the year 2013?
Yes, absolutely. And I wish you all good luck, good fortune in the coming hours. You have, what, about 20 hours or 21 hours
to go? Yeah,
22 hours.
I know if anyone can do it, you can, Alex.
Well, you know, it's a partnership, it's a team. We'll work our way through that. That's the important thing. Here's Neil Diamond.
The 20th and 21st of December 2012. More than just dates on a calendar, as this Mayan celebratory extravaganza is proving.
More than just dates on a calendar, and we're not talking about fruity stuff here in any way, shape, or form. Hey, celebrate Kel Ora and so on and so forth. I'm not going to be bamboozled by a telephonic system that just decides to actually drop the call when we've actually got the deputy editor of SFX magazine all lined up on that particular point of view. I'm going to actually continue ever onwards. Heaven only knows how we're going to cope with an ISDN feed tomorrow. Still, never mind. That's all part of this rich and wondrous tapestry, and hopefully... Ooh, that doesn't sound at all well read. I tell you what, Ed, would you like to go and pop next door and
see if
we can reach this man, Richard Edwards?
I will do that.
And then we'll feed him through to the studio and we can talk about SFX magazine and a whole heap of other goodies. I'll pass over a copy to Tiffany to actually sort our way through. It's nice to have this kind of edge to the whole system. I mean, as I say, originally, Tiffany, we weren't expecting to see you at all. We were expecting to see Nicola Clancy in the studio and probably catch up with Tasha Turney and a whole heap of others. But no, you know, you hear it's great stuff. And Graham Harper, as we know, is on his way. We've had policeman Dave Milling. We've got a special track for Dave as well coming through in the very near future. Dave has brought in some cakes. Hooray! He's brought in some mince pies, I think they are.
Yep, lovely.
Well done,
mince pies.
As far as that's concerned. Ed is currently trying to get the editor, deputy editor of SFX, that would be the aforementioned Richard Edwards, lined up now, and hopefully he will connect, or maybe he won't. Yeah. Anyway, other delights that we can look forward to in this, the third hour. Is it really only the third hour? I did say I wasn't going to actually talk about this, but I wasn't expecting, shall we say, some of the technical challenges that we have actually been faced with to be striking quite as solid as we have. I tell you what, should we actually look to dig out... Oh, we do have a message now, so if I actually press this button at this particular stage here, we'll take the rest of the bits and pieces through, press this button here, open this button up here, and hopefully we'll be able to say, Richard Edwards, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, hey. I bet you guys, you might have tweeted, we've been retweeting and all the rest of the bits and pieces that you're joining us for the quite literally, post-apocalypse. See what we did there? Already the joys of SFX magazine in their letters page were all set for this. But we were just a wee bit concerned that, given that I'm looking at SFX 230, edition 230, with, of course, Matt Smith as the Doctor and Jenna Louise Coleman as the companion on the front cover, that we were having a whole range of things. You would not believe the challenges we've been having with our computer in this play-out scenario that we've been working through so far. It's, you know... It comes to something, Richard, and I'm sure you're wearing your technical hat. You'll be, you have a sympathy with this when you get to the stage where you have to worry about dropping and dragging on a machine because it might just fall over.
Yes, miss the old days. Steam power was the way forward, wasn't it?
Precisely. You know, bring back the Sinclair Spectrum. That's the route forward from this. When we first booked you for this fabulous Myathon, and it is, because that's what we're doing in the third hour, etc., you said, oh, great, there's lots of post-apocalyptic stuff coming through there. We've got the excitement of the Star Trek Into the Darkness. We've got The Walking Dead. Ironically, not a description of the Myathon presenters here, although Ed is doing sterling duty and Tiffany's already sort of doing fine stuff as far as this is actually concerned. This is again another key part of the excitement and wonderment of SFX. So are we heading for the apocalypse? Is it all a dystopian future? What's your view, Richard?
Well, I'm kind of a little bit split on this because obviously I don't want it to be an apocalypse. And it's not good for sales if there is actually an apocalypse.
Nice.
But at the same time, you know, it does generate a lot of good science fiction talking about it. So, you know, easy come, easy go. I mean, the thing is, as long as it's an interesting apocalypse, you know, not just a boring, everyone just sort of falls over, it's a virus or something. You know, some people, it's a creative apocalypse, I think I'll be happy.
A creative apocalypse. Quoting from issue 230, at first I was sceptical about finding out what happens after Return of the Jedi, but now I'm really excited about the new Star Wars movies, especially now the excellent Michael Arndt has been confirmed to write the screenplay. Also, massive respect to George Lucas for donating billions of dollars from the sale of Lucasfilm to his educational foundation.
Who said that? Right, okay.
I think we have Richard Edwards, deputy editor of SFX.
Oh, okay, yep.
And it's just one solid rave. So nice to see you didn't have any rants, though. I mean, because obviously it's raves and rants, but it was just all raves. Very good.
Oh, no, I'm very, very excited about Star Wars now. I mean, that would be one thing about the bad thing about an apocalypse tomorrow, that we wouldn't be able to see the next Star Wars movie. And I'd be very sad about that.
Exactly. I think in the scheme of the sort of discussions and debates we've been having on the show so far, and I must admit Phil Leonis is actually catching up with us, we apologise, we're about sort of 10 minutes behind schedule, really, in every sense of the word. I mean, I don't know, Ed, if you want to sort of just say we'll be with Phil shortly. He may be listening to us now, he may not, I don't know, but you know, maybe you can actually send him a tweet or something.
Yes, I will. We're friends now on Twitter.
Hey,
how about that? Fantastic. Can you be friends on Twitter?
You can follow each other.
Follow each other. It's very good. Whilst we're sort of talking about following various other folk, Richard, why should we follow SFX on Twitter?
Well, because you can. It's the best way to find out what's going on the website and just other stuff that's happening in the world of sci-fi. We tweet very, very regularly, and there's a lot of fun stuff on there as well. So it's a little bit of everything.
We noticed you'd even sort of put an @SirenFM thing in there as well, which I have duly retweeted and sent down the lines through Matt Southside Broadsea, which is wonderful. It's great stuff. Tiffany, any questions you'd like to put to Richard, given you've now actually flicked through the first edition of SFX? And I can tell you this, you might be excited by getting your first byline in the Lincolnshire Echo as a reporter today, but you will have arrived in the journalistic field when you can finally get an article in SFX magazine. That is the true greatness. Yeah. Anyway, over to you, Tiff.
Definitely. Where do I start? Is this the first edition?
No. It's been going 230 months, actually. So you've got an edition there.
I read the first...
You've read an edition of SFX, which was issue number... We'll find out.
Let's have a little look at that.
You can tell that our rehearsal has gone down extremely well.
January 2013. Well, that's hopeful.
January 2013. Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Issue number is actually 229.
229. There we are. The one before 230, which I'm holding in my hand here. Anyway, this is probably the most the standard sort of line from that point of view. Let's just redress the balance. What exciting things can we look forward to for SFX in 2013, assuming we survive the apocalypse?
Well, I think the big one is Doctor Who's 50th anniversary at the end of the year. So what, we'll have to see what the BBC have got planned to celebrate that. They've hinted that there's going to be very, very big things. So who knows? Will they bring back a load of doctors for a like five Doctor style special? I don't know, but that's very exciting. Because you mentioned Star Trek Into Darkness, new Star Trek movie, which looks, from the trailers, very, very cool. Benedict Cumberbatch is the villain. He looks like he's going to be absolutely amazing. There's a new Superman movie, Man of Steel, from Zack Snyder, who directed Watchmen, and it's from a story that's written by Christopher Nolan, who made all the Batman movies, and they're trying to, I think, make Superman real, which...
But he is, isn't think... he? Yeah. Who's going to save us?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you look past the flying and the X-ray vision, you know, yeah, completely real world. So it's going to be interesting to see how they pull that off. I think it's going to be a little bit darker than the Superman movies we've seen before, a little bit more introspective. And I suppose there's more Walking Dead in February, and this series has been fantastic. So, yeah, it's a very exciting year. A lot of big movies and some cool TV.
Got to confess, Richard, I have yet to actually see The Walking Dead, other than obviously some of the students I've taken at the University of Lincoln. That's okay. You know, it was going to be written in any way, shape or form. I've been more interested in Fringe, I think, for various other things. But Tiffany has a question.
Yeah, well, I was reading this and I see The Hobbit is on the front cover. Have you seen this film?
I haven't yet, I'm
You've
afraid.
Not seen it yet. Well, it looks amazing. I was just wondering if you know any insights into the film and what we can expect.
Funnily enough, I think one of the biggest talking points about it hasn't been the film so much as the fact that it's been filmed in 48 frames per second rather than the usual 24. And so it's all in 3D and everything, but there's this whole new effect that makes everything... what people are saying, that it kind of looks hyper-real almost, but you don't get any motion blur. Some people are saying it's quite an odd experience, but the guys who've made it are saying that this is the future of cinema and it allows them to show things more accurately and reproduce the real world more than they could in the old format. In terms of the film, I mean, it's very much a prequel to Lord of the Rings, but... It's much more than The Hobbit, the books, because, I mean, the original Hobbit book is a very small, almost a children's book, and they've turned this into three movies. So they've gone into all the appendices in Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Silmarillion, and actually made this huge epic that's going to be three movies. It's going to be as long, pretty much, as The Lord of the Rings. So, again, that's interesting to see how they managed to pad that out.
Richard, we've just had a Facebook update from Penny Evans, who actually utters the words, "Oh, did you have to mention that god-awful Walking Dead?" And filled in as, "Where are you? I thought you were on at 7 p.m. Alex left you because just said you were on the way. I'm sorry, Penny. You know, we've had technical challenges, and don't worry, we'll try and avoid mentioning The Walking Dead. Oh, he's done it again. I'll hold fire on that. But obviously, one of our transatlantic listeners, not a big fan, Richard.
Well, you know, if you don't like zombies, I would say avoid The Walking Dead. I mean, it is quite... it's one of the more brutal shows on TV, I'll put it that way.
Very true. Yeah, and we don't want brutality at this particular stage. Ed, anything you'd like to add whilst I'm actually dealing with the irate Facebook comments they're getting here from the Phil Leonis fans, the Leonis Eds? I know.
Yeah, I might have just missed you talking about this because I'm outside madly trying to dial up Richard's mobile, wondering why he wouldn't pick
why?
Up.
Why?
You're already talking to him.
Yeah.
What are the spurious awards, Richard?
That's... God, how to define it? Basically, it's...
Sorry.
It's us... sort of looking through what's happened in the week in sci-fi,
yeah,
and kind of giving, creating almost an award for it. So they're kind of quite random titles. So it might be, I don't know, say the weirdest man with pink hair this week. If there was a man with a really weird haircut, we would just create an award. Just
oh, I see.
To mention
I like
that.
The sound of this.
So it really just it's very much a way of packaging the weird, the funny, the odd from the week of sci-fi.
Excellent.
And we admit that a lot of the awards are incredibly spurious. Cool.
Jason Young, who's a friend with Dean Hagland, has actually stated it's already the 21st in Australia. We know. Pity you couldn't link up with someone there. Well, we did actually try. We did think about the Australian scenario, but we thought, no. Of the Carol Singers arrived.
The Carol Singers will be assembling in the atrium to do some vocal warm-ups as we speak.
But we do have those authors. Well, we have one author, one very famous author. Would you like to open the door, Tiffany, to actually allow one of our top authors in? in the whole sort of sequence, etc.
She's just thinking we're not going to.
Is she? No, we are. Of course we are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all sort of... Don't worry, we're not under siege, Richard. But who knows what could be happening here, you know. But we've stacked up with mince pies, and that's all you really need for the whole system. Do you know, time is getting so tight. Let me have to... Who else do we need to fit into as far as this... Well, we've got Rain Town that we're sort of a bit behind schedule with as far as that's concerned. So we've got to go back to Phil Leonis in Los Angeles. Otherwise, his fans will probably actually stage a huge protest from that perspective, and quite rightly so from that point of view. Are there any other sort of lines that we've actually got here? Well, we'll have a little look through those particular zones. Fair point. You know, Sean Doucette has actually sort of pointed out that Mayans were in Mexico. Incans, of course, the Inca, were in Peru. Well done, Sean. That's absolutely spot on that particular area. You see, this is the joy of social. You're getting all these little lines coming through here. I hope they'll subscribe to SFX magazine. That's a shameless plug for you, Richard. The Dean Haglund sort of line from that perspective, and Cameron saying, call him again, which is what we're all about here. So there we are. Little update in terms of that. How are you, Nikki? How's well? How's life? Nikki is the author of the Rockstar Trilogy, Richard, and is here before she actually has a night out in the rain in Lincoln. Isn't that right?
Well, absolutely. It's probably one of our first nights out in Lincoln, actually, because we've only been here 6 months.
You see, it beats Bath in many ways, Richard. Oh, are you in Bath at present?
I am, yeah.
Right. What's the weather like in Bath?
Oh, miserable.
Have you got any flood alerts there?
It's part of the course. Not at the moment, though. Around Bath there are quite a few. I'm on top of a hill, so if I'm flooded here, Bath is in trouble.
Yeah. Well, Bristol always used to be underwater.
Exactly. Anyway... Onwards, ever onwards. Yes, I've just been actually having a look through the Lincolnshire Echo, PCSR and FM. We'll link up live with the American radio station team. Where we are, we're connected. It's all wonderful stuff. Dean Hagler will be joining us. Phil Leonis is on very shortly. I'm going to send Ed out to actually sort of get Phil sorted through and address those kind of issues as well. And Nikki, are you generally happy with life at present?
Absolutely, 100%. Apart from the rain, which should be snow.
You see, if it was snow, I think we'd have all manner of different challenging times to actually go with us. But, you know, let's... Richard, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on this Myathon extraordinaire?
Fantastic, thank you.
That's good. Are you likely to be coming back again in the very near future?
Oh, I would have thought so, yeah.
I think that's an absolute yeah, because we've got a certain Dave Bradley who's joining us later on. Just ahead of midnight, we believe, Dave Bradley.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
From that point of view, so he'll be sorted out for that. Do you think he'll be listening now? Do you think we should actually give him a shout-out?
Probably
not.
Should
well be. Well, there we are. Well, we just have. So there we are. Richard Edwards from SFX Magazine. Not likely to be featuring Rockstar Trilogy unless you can put some science fiction into it, Nikki.
I'll have a think about that.
Well, it is, you can always sort of work it in.
Crossover,
Sophie to actually sort of become abducted by aliens and things. That would be useful from that point of view.
Now there's an idea.
Let's go for Billy Joel.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by.
Yeah, innocent android, perhaps. Or one of those things. Stopping now. Well, as you may have gathered, lots of Phil Leonis-ets out there, Phil Leonis fans effectively saying, I thought he was going to be on, etc, etc. Hopefully we've been giving them name checks on our Facebook updates. Everything else has been sorted through. As we said, we had a bit of a challenge there, thanks to the good offices of Ian Mills, Andrew David, and a lot of prayer. It looks as though we're okay now. It looks as though we're hanging on. Although, as Phil actually said a few moments ago, it sounded as though we were coming from the heart of a hurricane in the transatlantic link. Is that right, Phil? What's it like in Los Angeles?
Well, in Los Angeles, it's not a cloud sky. It's beautiful blue skies. It's warming up a little bit. Mm. I just enjoyed a perfect breakfast sandwich to end world, full of all sorts of farm-fresh goodness, worthy, I must say, of the kind of agriculture you can find in Lincolnshire. So it's fantastic over here, but of course, here is December 20th. And where you are,
yes,
it's December 21st.
No, it isn't actually, Phil. No, it's still December the 20th. It is 19:41, i.e. 19 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock on December the 20th.
Oh, well, so then your computer problems and the hurricane, I mean, these are just the beginning. within a few hours, I expect you to get solar flares.
Yeah, great.
And just you, not us, because, again, it's a calendar thing. And to my fans, I do appreciate, of course, that they are eager for every appearance that I make during this broadcast.
Yes.
But if the end of the Mayan calendar is going to be anything, certainly it should be that we stop counting time. Just have faith. All good things will happen. I will be along. Don't live your lives by the clock. Don't live your lives by the turning of the calendar pages anymore. Stop counting time, and let's start making time count.
Exactly.
Did you like that?
I think that was profound. That deserves its very own jingle.
Phil Leonis, Ilana Rain, and Dean Haglund in downtown Los Angeles. Alex Leftuke, Ed Wellman, Nicola Clancy, and Tasha Turney in downtown Lincoln, England. What's not to love, especially if you're measuring time via the Mayans?
Now, allowing for the fact that earlier somebody rightly pointed out that actually the Mayans are based in Mexico and it's the Incas who are based in Peru, you may also have actually heard, Phil, that we have the welcome return of Nikki and her husband in the studio. Nikki, of course, the author of the Rockstar Romance Trilogy. Is that right? Yes.
It is indeed. Hi, Phil, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
But no sign of Tasha Turney, who I gather is working, but said she'd come back afterwards, or Nicola Clancy, who knows, really? Maybe she sent me a text and maybe we're sort of through on that basis. But, you know, this is what we like about these wonderful production shows. It's always the unexpected that sort of opens up a whole range of things. So we've actually got two scenarios here. I've got one. Would you like to hear the message from Nicola Clancy? It's good news, Phil. Hi, Alex. I've just got in from work and having a bite to eat, and I shall be down there about 7:30. It's now 19:43. That was sent 30 minutes ago. Never mind. It's a different perspective entirely. Graham Harper is currently passing Sheffield, and we've got the news from Raintown as well. Splendid. Just keeping people up to date with respect to that, Nikki, because we've got an even more exciting thing to look forward to, which I know Phil will be excited about in the new year, because we're actually having a book launch.
We are.
Mm.
Is this when I talk
yes,
about?
Yes, yes, it is. Phil is waiting there. Have you changed out of your night attire, Phil? You've had your breakfast. Are you sorting through now? Because this is one of the latest pieces we've done with you in Los Angeles.
I'm still in my pajamas. I've been taking care of a lot of work there. The next step, my last check in with you before I hand off the baton to Ilana,
yes.
I will be shaved and cleaned and fully clothed. So you have that to look forward to. But I must correct, you know, the origins of the Mayan is not Mexico. It ended up spreading as far north as Mexico. But the whole Mesoamerican culture, actually, the heart of it was more what we now consider to be Honduras, Belize, Guatemala, El Salvador. But again, you know, they didn't even invent the calendar. They simply fully developed it. So we're going to give them credit for all sorts of things. They're not truly historically accurate. But again, it's the end of days. So what does it matter?
Precisely. Very good. Take that, Sean Doucette. Anyway, yes, over to you, Nikki.
Yeah, book launch. You know, I've written this first book, Sophie's Turn, the Rockstar Romance, that Alex keeps so elegantly plugging on.
Elegantly plugging. I love that.
You do it so well.
There we are.
Well, I've written the sequel, and it's due to be published in February. So February the 7th, assuming we survive tomorrow. Mm. I mean, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it, after all. That's a good rock song. We should be playing that soon.
Yeah, please, you know, I know you've worked in America, and I know you're from Germany originally, but, you know, let's keep it focused.
Right, okay. So 6th of February, I believe,
yes,
Wednesday
exactly.
night, yeah. we will be
party
over
time. Yeah,
the drive
Seth
time.
Phil Leonis will be part of that show because obviously he's
Excellent.
A Wednesday essential part of the whole thing.
We will have music.
Exactly.
We will have
exactly.
All manner of exciting people.
I'm going to ask Tiffany to actually take that call out of the studio and actually sort of deal with it, because otherwise, you know, I can do a certain amount of things, but actually taking calls coming in at the same time. We will be with Raintown very shortly. Phil, have you had an interesting little mini link with us today?
Oh, I have indeed, and you know. two things I'd like to point out, Alex, that are going to be on our end of the show.
Yes.
Firsts for Chilpack Hollywood, Alex.
Yes.
We will actually be spinning some tunes. We've never done that before.
My
word.
You know, unbelievable.
And I hope to do as eclectic and really quite just a delightful a job at creating a playlist as you do on a weekly basis on Midweek Drive. And the other thing, we will be having some very thoughtful discussions with a wide range of guests about some of these tragic gun-related events that have been taking place here in America.
As we raised earlier, you may have caught it with Annette Andre, if not, I think deep sympathy, obviously, with the whole issue, but, and it's something you might like to throw into the discussion, Phil, bear in mind, is the same level of mourning present when we actually send in a drone or a Scud missile into Afghanistan, another routine with lots of children and innocents killed to that particular routine? I think, you know, both sort of evils are sort of wrong and not to be adhered to.
Well, this is always the main point, as a certified violence prevention specialist, yeah. It is one of the points that you always have to balance is, you know, how can we expect our populace to be less violent when the state sanctions violence to such a degree? The truth is, though, it is incumbent upon the individuals in a society to humanize that society. It will never come from the government.
Phil, we're with you again in an hour, is that right, or thereabouts?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Tiffany, who was that call from?
That was Paul from the Raintown.
We'll be with Raintown very shortly. Yeah. Talking about Raintown, here's their tune.
Still my favourite time of year. The thoughts